Continuing in our series on the book of Mark, we turn to Mark chapter 4. We are up to verse 21. And so what we'll do is we'll read the second half of the chapter and consider tonight verses 21 through 25. So you'll recall that the first half of the chapter, the first 20 verses, is the parable of the sower and the seed and the soils. We considered that last time. And now we're up to verse 21. So let's read that to the end of the chapter. Mark 4, verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. For when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We'll read Holy Scripture that far. Let's read the text one more time tonight. It's verses 21 through 25. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God that we consider tonight follows directly from the parable of the sower, seed, and soils from the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 4, in the middle of which was a few verses that explained why Jesus taught in parables. And so last time from Mark 4, 1 through 20, we learned a couple of main points. We learned from the parable itself that there is power in the Word of God. That when the Word of God is sown, the seed of that Word is sown, it produces upon good soil fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And when that seed falls upon bad soil, there is the opposite, there is no fruit. And so the main word that we considered from the parable itself is the power of God's word to bear fruit in the lives whose hearts have been made good soil by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That was the main word from the parable itself. The main word that we learned from those few verses where Jesus explains why he teaches in parables is that God has given us to know the mystery of his kingdom. And you'll recall that the idea of the word mystery is that which was hidden but now revealed. And God, through Christ, in his earthly ministry by his teaching in parables, was making known what was hidden. The parables were meant clearly to teach this is what is true of the kingdom of God. Now we come to verses 21 through 25. And I believe that Jesus is building off of and continuing down the same line by what he explains in these verses. Admittedly, there is some difficulty in understanding exactly what Jesus is getting at in these two sections. There's really two distinct sections here, verses 21 through 23 about the candle, and then verses 24 and 25 about measuring. It can be difficult to understand exactly what Jesus is driving home here. And I believe the important thing to remember is that we need to explain this as a unit. 21 through 25 as a unit together in light of the context in which it is found, which I just explained a moment ago from Mark chapter 4. One of the very interesting things about these few verses that are our text tonight is that all of these verses are found in other places in the other gospel accounts. But what's so interesting about it is that they're all scattered. Take, for example, the gospel according to Matthew. And you don't need to look these up, but just hear me explain this. Mark 4, verse 21, the candle, that verse is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. And that's the very well-known passage of letting our light shine by the good works that we do so that others might be brought to God. Mark 4, verse 22, in our text, the idea of there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, that's found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. And the context there is persecution. Mark 4, verse 24, which is the language, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. That verse is found in Matthew 7, verse 2. And the context there is about judging one another, and making sure that we don't judge people rashly or unjustly. And then last, Mark 4, verse 25, for to him that hath, to him shall be given. And that verse is found in Matthew 13, verse 12. That's the exact same context, so there it's the same, but it's also found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 29, and there the context is the parable of the talents. So it's very interesting that all of these verses are found in the book of Matthew, but every single one of them is found scattered from each other. And each of them have their own context. And so as we approach this passage, the point is not that we take the first verse, see what it meant in that other context, and apply it here, and do that with the second verse, and see what it meant in the other context, and apply it here, so that we have four or five different scattered ideas being expressed in these verses. That is not what we do with this passage. That's not what Mark does here. That's not what Jesus did when he taught it in this context. This is a unit. And they all go together. And Jesus is driving home one or two main points from this unit of verses in this section. And it's clearly together. There's no doubt about that. These are not separated ideas. Verse 21 is connected to verse 22. For there is nothing hid. It's explaining that. There's a conclusion in verse 23. There's an introduction in verse 24. Take heed. And then two verses again that go together. It's a unit that needs to be understood in its context. And God willing, we'll see what that is. And it's expressed in the theme of the sermon that we take up tonight. The theme being the light of Christ manifested. From the opening few verses in our text, we'll consider revealed. And then from the concluding two verses, we'll consider received. The light of Christ manifested, revealed, and then received. So let's start with that revealed. And we'll start with just explaining the basic figure of the text. The figure is, to begin with verse 21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick. So we're talking about a candle here. When you read candle, the reference would not be to what we normally think of when we hear the word candle, just a stick as we know it with a wick at the top and a flame that comes forth, that comes from that wick. A candle here would have been an oil lamp. It would have been a clay lamp, and the shape of it would have been basically a bowl, and then one side of it would have been pinched out a little bit with a handle on the other side. So you have a handle, a bowl, one side kind of pinched out. On the top of the middle part of the bowl would have been a hole, and on the top of the pinched out part would have been a little hole. And the wick would have been woven so that it's underneath that littler hole on the pinched out part. And the way that it worked very simply was that the bigger hole in the middle is where you would pour the oil. The wick would have been worked towards that other little hole so that coming up from that little hole, you would have a flame. And that flame was meant to give off light. If you're interested more specifically in what it looked like, you can Google it pretty easily and find a picture of an oil lamp in Jesus' day. The point is not so much to know exactly what the lamp was or the candle was, but the purpose of that lamp or candle. And Jesus drives this home by means of questions. He starts negatively and says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Do you bring a candle into a room, an oil lamp into a room, in order to put it under a bushel? The bushel there, a basket. More specifically, a basket meant for measuring things. Or do you take that candle, that oil lamp, and put it under the bed? And the answers to these rhetorical questions are obvious. You don't take a candle and put it under something so that the light of that candle is concealed. That's the negative. The positive is it not to be set on a candlestick? And the answer to that, of course, is yes. You bring a lamp into a room in order to put it on a candlestick, to put it somewhere in that room where it's able to give off the light that it is meant to give off. And Jesus goes on to explain this, what he means specifically by this figure of the lamp giving off light in verse 22. Because he goes on and he says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." This is what the light of the lamp does when it's not concealed, but it's put out in the open. That which may have been hid is made manifest. That which would have been kept in secret, in darkness, should come abroad. A lamp brought out in the open makes known what is hid or what is kept in secret when it is in darkness. So the question then is, what is Jesus teaching here by means of this figure? What is the main point? As I said at the end of the introduction, in the context of what Jesus is teaching in Matthew or Mark chapter 4. And I'll begin by saying what I do not believe the main point is. The main point is not what we often think about when we hear this figure, which is letting the light of good works shine. When we hear about a lamp and hiding it under a bushel or a bed, but putting it out in the open, it's likely the case that the first thing that comes to our mind is Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And there in Matthew 5, Jesus makes explicit that's what he was teaching there. He says explicitly that we are, with the light of the gospel, to let our good works known so that others might see them and glorify our Father in heaven. There's no doubt there what Jesus is teaching by the figure of the lamp. It's all about the good works that we perform, light shining forth so that others might see it. I repeat, I do not believe that that's the main idea here. Are we going to get there as a secondary implication of what the main idea, because there is a relationship? Yes, but not the main idea. And part of the reason for that is the context, and part of the reason for that is verse 22, which explains the figure of the candle. So what is the main idea? To get at the main idea, it's important to remember Jesus' instruction about why he teaches in parables, because there are ideas expressed in that are harmonious with the idea expressed in this text. So we go back to verse 11, where Jesus says, "This is why I teach in parables. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." And it all has to do with that word mystery, because that word mystery gets to the ideas of verse 22 of that which is hidden or not known. Because a mystery in the Bible is something that, if it were not made known, would remain hidden. A mystery is something that, in order for someone to know it, it needs to be revealed to them. And if it is not revealed to them, they would never know that truth. And Jesus says, "This is why I teach in parables. It is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom." You would never know about this mystery of the kingdom if God has not seen to it that he would make it known to you. And that's what God has done. He has made it known to us. He's made it known to us in the Word. Jesus made it known by his teaching. And God has made it known to us by giving us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to believe. The whole point is, it would have been hidden, concealed, never known, unless God would make it known. And that's what he has done. And building off of that are these verses in verses 21 and 22. So that we come to the question, what is the light that will not be kept under a bushel or a bed, but will be placed on a candlestick, so that that light takes that which was hid and in secret and makes it manifested and makes it come abroad? What is that light? And that light, ultimately, is Jesus Christ. That light that will not and cannot be hid under a bushel or under a bed, but will be placed on a lampstand, and when it is placed on that lampstand, will take all that would have been in darkness and secret and hiding and makes it known and manifest. That light is Jesus Christ. Who He is and what He has done, so that in the coming and the person and the work of Jesus, everything about the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of God is made known and revealed and manifested and comes abroad. In the Old Testament, God made His truth known. He did. He did it in type. He did it in shadow. And then, bursting into this world in the fullness of time, is Jesus. And in the coming of Jesus, all that would have been hidden and in darkness becomes most clearly and fully manifest and shed abroad. The light that makes known what is in darkness is ultimately Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done, and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ, then, as that truth is proclaimed throughout the world. This is entirely in harmony with what Jesus says He is and what others say He is. We know these verses well from John chapter 1, 4 and 5 and 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus coming is the light that shines. And in the shining of the light is made manifest all that otherwise we would never know apart from the work of God. Beloved, this is a way to think about the person and work of Jesus. It was the shining of light and the revealing clearly of the wonder of the gospel and the truth of God's kingdom. You go to the baptism of Jesus, and it was Jesus and the light shining. This is God's beloved Son. This is the one who came to fulfill all righteousness, to earn the life of the citizens of His kingdom. The shining of light. You look at the entire earthly ministry of Jesus and all of His healings and miracles and resurrections were the declaration and the shining of light. This is God the Son come into the flesh. And with that, all of the teaching of Jesus, that's the context in Mark chapter 4, the shining of the light that he is God the Son who comes as the Savior of God's people and the King of God's kingdom. And then you go to the cross, and that cross is the shining of light. This is what it's all about. On that cross, Jesus taking the wrath of God for the sins of his people and the conquering of all of the enemies of darkness. And then you go to the resurrection, and it's the shining of light. He is the resurrection and the life that conquers death and conquers the grave. And then he goes to heaven, and he pours out his Spirit, and it's the shining of light, the light by the Spirit in his work throughout this world as Jesus and the gospel is made known to men. And where that light goes, it's not hid. It's made known, and it brings to light what otherwise would remain in darkness and in secret. Which is why now the light that shines forth is especially that word of truth, that word of the gospel. We know that that too is what the Bible teaches about what light is. The Word of God is light, Psalm 119, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The gospel is light that is manifested in the hearts of God's people. And that fits too, I believe, with what Jesus is teaching here in Mark chapter 4. Because in Mark 4, Jesus is saying there's going to be the sowing of seed. I am the great sower. But I need to go to heaven. And then I'm going to call men who on my behalf will sow seed. And when they sow seed, they are sowing the seed of the gospel. And the sowing of that seed of the gospel is the making manifest the light of Jesus Christ. They can't hide it. They must not hide it. Those who are entrusted with the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't put it under that bushel, you don't put it under that bed, but you manifest it. You put it out there in the open to any and all who will hear it. And when the light of Jesus shines forth in gospel preaching, what is hidden is made manifest. What is concealed comes abroad. The truth makes known what otherwise we would never know, who God is in all of his glory in Jesus, who we are as sinners, what the cross is in the foundation and basis of all life with God, and what the glory of heaven is to come for those who believe in Jesus. It's light, light shining in gospel preaching on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Couple of applications that we can draw from this. The first is that it reminds us very clearly that this is what we are all about and must be all about as a church. This is what it is, right here. God has placed us in this place at this time in order fundamentally to do one thing. As that is to take this light, this Jesus Christ, this gospel truth, who he is, what he has done, the promise that whoever believes in him shall never perish but live everlasting, take that light and not hide it, not cover it, but let it shine. Let it shine in all of its fullness and beauty and glory. Let it shine so that it has this effect, that which is hid is made known, that which is concealed is shed abroad as the darkness is illuminated by the light of Jesus Christ. This is what we are all about and must be what we are all about. Now, as an established church, this means that this takes place especially in the pulpit on the Lord's Day, and we maintain that and we strive to maintain that. And from here, week after week, for all who are present, week after week, the light of Jesus shines forth brightly and clearly and fully. But this is where the point that I made earlier about a secondary implication comes into play. Because these are related ideas. It's not completely distinct from these other passages that talk about these verses. And the extension of what we just talked about is exactly that, that the light of Jesus, as it shines forth here and is worked in you as God's people, is a flame that needs to keep burning throughout this week. So that we let our light shine in this world, and that God may use that in order to lead others here so that they hear, this is what this church is about. This is what the church is about. This is what the gospel is. And the proclamation of the light of Christ goes forth to those who through our witness are brought to an understanding of Jesus Christ and the word of truth. Let's understand tonight the importance of that. Let's be encouraged tonight to be faithful in that. This week, Thursday and Friday, a conference to help us in that, to encourage us in that, so that we are bold, that we are courageous, that we are faithful in the light of Jesus Christ, which is in us, shining forth in our everyday walk and in our everyday life. A second implication or application that we can draw from this is the encouragement of knowing that this is exactly what has been and will take place. And nothing can stop this. There's something about the way in which verse 22 is written that establishes that. For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Nothing kept in secret, but it should come abroad. It will be manifested. It will come abroad. The light of Christ and the gospel will go forth, and nothing will stop it. And where that gospel goes forth, it illuminates that which otherwise would remain in darkness. That's the encouragement of knowing that there's nothing that can stop Jesus Christ and His truth and His life and light from shining forth. From the moment that He came to this earth, from the pouring out of the Holy Spirit all the way until the end, this is what's happening all throughout the world. And no one will ever be able to stop it. And God will continue to work through it. And Jesus will be at work making Himself and His gospel known to the salvation of His people and the church the world over. The light of Christ revealed. And now the light of Christ received. So now we turn to verses 24 and 25. And the way that this begins is this way in verse 24. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what you hear. And I point out that in the parallel passage in Luke verse chapter 8, verse 18, He says, take heed therefore how you hear. And there it's the same context, just to be clear about that. That's not an example of similar verses scattered in different places. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, the context is exactly the same as what we have here in Mark 4. So those two things are important. In Mark 4, the beginning of this section is take heed what you hear. And in Luke 8, it's take heed how you hear. And that, by the way, is something that adds to understanding the previous verses in the way that we did. That it's ultimately talking about the Christ and the Word now of Jesus Christ being manifested, made known, which is in harmony with Mark 4 and the sowing of the seed, which is in harmony with the whole point of this chapter, which is the teaching of parables. And Jesus says, take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. Take heed, consider carefully, examine carefully both of those points. Consider carefully what it is you are hearing. What it is you are hearing is important. Make sure that what you are hearing is light, is gospel light, is faithful to what the Word of God teaches concerning Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Both of those are important. It's important that what you hear be correct, and how you hear. It's not good if you hear the right thing, but then hear it in the wrong way. That's possible. And it's not good if you hear something in the right way, but it's the wrong thing. Both of them are important. The right thing in the right way. True gospel preaching about Jesus and the wonder of who He is and what He has done. In the right way. Carefully examine how you hear. Which drives home very simply, beloved, that we need to hear in the right way. And the way that we come into the house of God to hear the gospel needs to be with a heart that says, I'm coming here because I want to hear about the words of life. I'm coming here with a believing heart. A heart that says, these things that are being spoken, when I know that it's truth, are words that I believe. I'm coming here because I need something for me that I will not find anywhere else in the world. I need the message of redemption and the blood of Jesus. I'm here hearing this word with the resolve to submit to it, so that what God says, I say, that's what I need to do, because this is the authority in my life, and this is what I follow all the days of my life. There's a way in which we come hearing the word, hearing it with a believing heart, hearing it with a submissive heart, hearing it with a humble heart, hearing it with a heart that says, I need this. More than anything else in the world, I need what God will say to me, and I need to go back to what we said earlier. I need the light and life of Jesus Christ. Take heed what? Take heed how you hear the word of light. And then Jesus goes on and He gives an incentive and an encouragement to do that. And that's what He drives home by this next picture. He says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. That's the encouragement and incentive. But that with that, there's also the warning. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What Jesus does here is he builds off of what he alluded to in the first picture that we talked about. It doesn't come through in our English translation, but when we read about the candle, Jesus asked the question, do you put the candle under the bushel? As I said when we were explaining that bushel really was a measuring basket. The main point of that basket was to measure materials. And he picks up on that here, and he says, with what measure ye meet, with what measure you use, that shall be measured to you, given to you. And not only that, but more. To one, the one who hears shall be given. What this is it's the encouragement and the incentive to hear in the right way and to receive in the right way the gospel truth of light. To measure is talking about how we hear. That's what he says at the end of verse 25. Unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, how we hear, God will then give us. And not only that, there will be more given. The encouragement incentive, to put it in different language, that there will be growth. Growth in our knowledge of God, growth in our love for God, growth in our walking as disciples of Jesus Christ. So that as we hear the word, and it's the word of truth, and we hear it in the right way, in the ways that we described earlier, God will give that unto us and more, so that there is true, real, genuine building up and growth in our Christian faith and in our walk with God, which is a principle that the scriptures talk about in many different places, even in the parable itself, the bearing of fruit from the word that is sown. And in other passages, for example, 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. It's the encouragement and the incentive that we have to be those who hear, who receive, who come with hearts that are ready to submit ourselves to the word of the gospel and to say, this is what I need and this is what I want, and I want to grow in that. And God says, as we read in verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. As we grow in our Christian walk, as we grow in our life with God, until that day when we ultimately receive that final inheritance of heaven itself. But with that, there's the warning. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. The same thing is said in the parable of the talents. You'll remember that. The one was given one talent, but he didn't use it rightly, and it was taken from him. This cannot refer to, of course, the losing of salvation, the taking from someone salvation that they once had, but continuing in the main ideas. It's a warning as to what one does with the word of life and the light of the gospel as they receive it and hear it. This is what God has given to everyone who is here tonight. God in His providence has seen to it that everyone here tonight has sat under the preaching of truth, the preaching of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The warning here is not to reject that, because the one who is given that but rejects that, to him and from him it will be taken away in the just judgment of God, as one is hardened in their rejection and rebellion against the word of the gospel and the word of Jesus Christ, and ultimately a departure entirely from where the light of the life of Jesus shines forth. Just as in that parable of the talents, that's a warning. It's a warning to all who are here, placed side by side with the encouragement and the incentive, as we have heard it explained already. The whole point is, you have the light of Jesus Christ shining forth in this gospel preaching. It hasn't been hid. It hasn't been covered. It's revealed and made known truth. Hear that word of truth. Believe that word of truth. Walk in light of that word of truth. Love that word of truth. Live your life for God. Grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of God day by day. And don't reject it. Don't rebel against it. But know that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved and live for Him. We thank God tonight that He has seen to it that this would not be a place of darkness, but He has seen to it that the darkness is made light here. And the light is not these light bulbs, that the light is that Christ and the gospel is present. Hear that gospel. Hear it. Believe that gospel. And live. Live in harmony with that glorious gospel in light in this week to come and in all of your life long. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray for thy blessing upon the word as it was brought tonight. We pray that we might hear that warning, that those who reject the Lord Jesus in thy just judgment will be judged everlastingly. But we pray, O God, that thy word would fall tonight upon the hearts of good soil again, and that there would be a reception of that word by thy work in them, and that all their life long we would be a people who take heed of what we hear and take heed of how we hear as we seek to grow in our life with thee and grow in our walk with Jesus Christ. And so encourage us, we pray, in that in this evening, and may we go forth in the light of life in this week to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.